for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And welcome to Out of the Box. This is Rick C. I'm sitting in for Jimmy Trujillo. Happy to be here again on KKCR. And we're going to be, I've got a pretty full show today. Here's what I'm going to do. At the top of the show, I'm going to let everyone call in. We've got about 15 minutes where you can call in about anything you want to talk about. And as long as the phone keeps ringing, we're going to be able to have just a couple of minutes each to say what's on your mind. And if that's something you want to do, call in. Start calling now, 826-7771. This is going to be your only opportunity to have an open discussion time on KKCR in this program today, the 4 to 6 slot, the public affairs slot, 826-7771. And then letting you know what else is coming up, we have I have two candidates. From the KIUC, the Kauai Island Utility Cooperative Board of Directors, are going to be here with me today. I have Pat Keegan, who's going to be calling in, and I also have Dennis Rowley, who will be calling in. Both of them at 4:20, and we'll be talking to them until 5 o'clock. As KKCR is mandated, and as we like to do, we are a voice for the community, and as the board of directors election for our local cooperative utility is important, we are striving to provide voice and an opportunity for each candidate to be on KKCR before the election deadline, which is coming up on. I believe that's Saturday, March 14th. So, excuse me, if you haven't voted yet, there are a variety of ways you can get information about the candidates, including the KIUC, their website. Also, there is some information about them. They did a speaking. They called in, they wrote answers to questions for Apollo Kauai. So if you want to search for Apollo Kauai, KIUC candidates 2015, you'll find information there. And, of course, right here on KKCR, your voice in the tropical island of Kauai. So 826-7771, if there's anything that's on your mind you think is important to get out to the community, this is your opportunity to do it. In the 5 to 6 o'clock hour, my guest will be Councilman Gary Hooser, and he'll be coming in live at the station. We'll be talking for an hour. Now, here's the rules. We're not talking about anything that has to do about the council. We're only going to be talking about HAPA, the organization of which he is now the president and one of the founding members. It is Hawaii Alliance for Progressive Action, H-A-P-A. I had the opportunity to go to a HAPA meeting, the first community meeting, early in the week. And Gary will be joining us. We'll be talking solely about HAPA. We will not be talking about his council activities. We will not be praising him and giving him love, nor will we be vilifying him. And we'll only be talking about HAPA, the organization, and the great opportunity that some people believe that HAPA presents for us here in the Hawaiian Islands. 826-7771. Again, we have that opportunity if there's anything you wanted to talk about. You know, there's a couple things that come up for me. I love international politics. And you know what? Before I get into that, let me say, behind the board, the big board, Dove is here. Thank you very much, Dove. Thank you for being here. And Tim Kalai is over here on the phones and ready to take your calls. And I want to thank them for being here and giving me the support. So, you know, it's amazing. It's a lot of people. It takes a lot of people to make this go on. And it takes you right now. If you have a voice, you want to call in, 826-7771. We will only be able to talk until 4:20, and that's when we will know. 4:20 will not be the time on this and this station in this moment. For other things, it will be a time for talking to our KIUC candidates. And we have a call, and we're going to go on the air again, 826-7771, right here at KKCR. Hi, you're on the air. It's Out of the Box.
You got to put the...
And we are... Okay. We're getting there. We're close. How's that?
Tell them to call back. Something
happened. All right. No problem. Call back. We'll call back. We got another 11 minutes. Here's a couple of things that come up for me as a guy who likes international politics that I thought were really odd. So we had this speech from Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, came in and did that whole sham of a speech before Congress. It was very controversial for a lot of reasons. But as reported, one of the things that I heard from the speech, and I didn't have the stomach to watch the whole thing. But I heard it reported that he said that Israel will stand alone if they need to. Well, what does that mean? Well, as a nuclear-armed nation, what that means to me is that he's saying Israel will stand alone and we'll use our nukes if we have to. And that's why we oppose another nation getting the our adversaries getting nuclear weapons, because we will use them if we have to. I don't know, something in the logic that kind of doesn't work for me. But anyway, the other thing that I think is really terrible and unfortunately probably will be very accepted and as just the way they do business in Russia was that they had this main opposition figure who was killed about a week ago. Very sad that that situation has occurred and that that would happen so easily. There was a lot of details today on the radio about, I believe it was it on Democracy Now! Or Morning Edition? One of the two. They were talking about how the opposition candidate had been creating a report that was going to be very scornful and indicting of President Putin. Oh, really?
Okay,
isn't that amazing? So, and then all of a sudden he gets killed. And for a city that has more cameras than any place else in the world, or so it is said, the cameras on the bridge where he happened to be killed just didn't work. Can you imagine that? That's almost like the Air Force being out at sea doing some exercises when 9/11 happened. It's strange coincidences. I wonder where those same cameras were working when the protest of 50,000 people supposedly protested his killing and walked across that same bridge where he was killed. I'm guessing those cameras were working then. Anyway, folks, we're working on our phone lines here, trying to get you on the air. So 826-7771, give it a shot. We have our master engineer, Dove, right, is working on it now. We have somebody ready to go on the air.
Don't hit it again.
Okay.
Don't hit
it again. You know what I love about community radio?
Hello, are you on the air?
We got it?
Aloha.
Hey, great. Thank you for calling. What do you got? Take a couple of minutes and tell us what's on your mind.
Well, I was wondering, where did Israel get the nukes from?
Well, I mean, I don't have the documents, but I'm going to guess it came probably through us and maybe South Africa.
Actually, they came from U.S. and Great Britain.
Okay.
And then
shocking.
The second thing regarding cameras, I guess the same outfit that installed the cameras in good old Russia were the guys who installed the cameras across from the Pentagon when the plane hit, right?
Yep.
The third thing, and the thing that really concerns me because it concerns my survival, is the fact that most people don't understand what quantitative easing is, right?
Yeah, I just went to sleep when you said that word. I woke up again. Go ahead.
You know what it is?
I know it's an economic term, and it's something that applies to the way that they are trying to revive our economy, but if you have more details than that, please share them.
I shall. Well, it's creating money out of thin air.
Ah.
Basically, in terms of the United States, we've been buying our own debt. In other words, all these crummy mortgages from student loans and trailer parks in Florida, etc., instead of letting the businesses go down, we have been printing money and, you know, issuing bonds, government bonds, and buying our own debt. So basically, you know, we spent about $5 trillion under Mr. Bummer.
George W. Bush.
No, Mr. Bummer, Mr. Obama.
Oh, okay.
Not that other bummer.
Okay.
Under Mr. the great Obama, Mr. Hope Change.
Okay.
And so then the rest of the world figures, well, gee, if it's working in the United States, we're going to do it. So Japan is doing it now. Of course, they have a particular situation in that they have a bunch of old people who are not having enough kids, and therefore the cookies are going to hit the fan pretty soon. They're going to really be in deep kimchi. So I can understand why they're doing it. And then, of course, with the United States, of course, under Mr. Obama, because his justice individual, his buddy, who's now powing out. Of course, he didn't choose to indict any of these people, the big boys who were responsible for the financial shenanigans back in 2008, right?
Yep.
I mean, he's done practically nothing, to say the least. Well, now that he's leaving, he's raising maybe a couple issues with the next attorney general or justice individual, rather. So the whole thing is, what it comes down to is the fact that our national debt, which is $18 trillion, is basically based on derivatives. In other words, all this money that, you know, Santa Claus does not loan the money to the United States for the national debt. Yes, some we owe to China, and some we owe to some other countries. But basically, the vast majority is created by derivatives. Now, derivatives are bets on bets. So basically, we have about $450-500 trillion in derivatives backing the whole financial superstructure in America, whereas the euro has a little worse situation. They have about $700 trillion in derivatives. So basically, when you print money, in other words, if you and your wife were like had a bunch of bills, right, and then you excuse me, honey, I'm going down the basement, and then your wife comes down one time, what are you doing? Oh, I'm printing money to pay off our bills.
Well, let me jump in there and tell you we have another call holding. We have a couple of calls holding now, but I do want to thank you for that. And I would like to take the seminar. Let me be the first to sign up for the printing money seminar on Kauai.
The main thing is seeds to grow food, and then the old slogan, of course, beans, bullets, and Band-Aids.
Okay, great. Hey, thanks very much for your call. We're going to our next call. Hi, you're on the air. You're welcome to KKCR Out of the Box. Got just about a minute. What's on your mind?
Well, really quick, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to let you guys know about two upcoming events here on the island.
Please do.
The first one is going to be this Sunday at 5 p.m. at the Kapa'a Neighborhood Library. It's going to be the East Side or the Puna Moku Ahupua'a Council meeting, and that's open to any East Side resident on the island who believes that we all have a kuleana to Malama Aina. So again, that's 5 to 7:30 p.m. at the Kapa'a Neighborhood Library, open meeting for the Ahupua'a Councils. It's going to be a potluck, so bring some poo-poos and meet some of your neighbors.
Okay, now, here's what I'd like to do, caller. I'd like you to now think that there are tourists out there listening, or people who only got to Hawaii for the very first time yesterday and never knew anything about the culture. Can you say just what you said in colloquial English?
I will try. That is a really good question.
You want to speak to everyone here.
Sure. This Sunday at the library here in Kapa'a, there's going to be a meeting of all the people who live on the east side in all the different watersheds and all the different valleys, all the different streams and watercourses. And we're going to meet and talk about ways that we can restore the traditional, customary, and generational knowledge of the Hawaiian and Polynesian people who managed to not only survive but thrive on these islands for 1,000 years before Western industrial trade came to these lands.
Okay, that's excellent. Give us the location again and the date and time, and then we're going to move on.
It's at the Kapa'a Neighborhood Library. It's at 5 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. It's going to be a potluck, so that means you should bring poo-poos. And poo-poos is like Hawaiian or pidgin for yummy things, snacks and food.
Or d'oeuvres kind of things. Yeah, simple.
I have a second announcement real quick.
Okay, real quick, please.
The second announcement is that there's going to be a water catchment capture design workshop in Lihue next week on the 13th and 14th.
Ah.
And this is going to be sponsored by the American Rainwater Catchment Association.
Mm.
And you can find out more information for that online at arcsa.org. That's A-R-C-S-A. That's for the American Rainwater Catchment Association. Oh, I think there's an S in there somewhere. A-R-C-S-A, ARCSA. And that's going to be in Lihue. And that's really important because we have the wettest place in the world here on Waialeala on top of the mountain in the center of the island. But it's not a very big place, so it gets a lot of water right there. but we all make really large demands on the water, the natural water flow here on the island. So this is a way we can begin to make better use of that. And that's really important if we want to be easy on the land, not kill the place that we live in while we're enjoying it so much.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And, you know, it's interesting you say that. My interest in that issue was piqued. I spent a little time recently on the Hamakua Coast. And everybody there and in the Puna District, also where I was, they all have water catchment systems, and I think it's something that we should all be aware of, that opportunity for us to do that. Caller, thank you very much. We're going to take one more.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have one more caller, and then we're going to clear the board for we can have our KIUC candidates calling in. Where we've got about 30 seconds. What is on your mind today that you'd like to share with the KKCR audience? Hello. I love it. Okay, here we go. Is that you? Hi.
Am I me?
You are you. I'm confirming that. And you've got about 30 seconds to give us you would like to share.
There's a man in Australia who had developed a new beekeeping frame that lets people take from the bees without opening the hive box and getting a suit and getting smoked.
You know,
so look up Australia and free flow.
You know, it's very interesting you said that. I happen to have got an email about that and saw that. I'm not sure if it was right, but he was looking for like $70,000 and he got like like $3 million on his Indiegogo.
It was up to 6.7 or something.
Yeah. So, but my point is, when I read the comments about that, an experienced beekeeper had written in and said, well, that's actually not a good thing because you want to open the hive and look for mites and look for, I forget what it was, spiders or something else.
Inspect the
hive. So in that having the honey flow out, as I saw the picture, the honey flows right out into a jar, looks really great, seems good, but we also want to preserve and protect the health of the bees. That's something that's very important to many people these days. And but I thank you very much because I love to hear about new, interesting, creative ideas. And thank you for sharing that here on
Okay,
on
end
the
of
box.
Time. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks. All right. So I'm Rick C. RICSEAMOUSE, as I like to say. And I'm sitting in today for Jimmy Trujillo, and we're going to be getting into a discussion with our KIUC candidates. Pat Geegan is calling in, and also we have Dennis Rowley. Dennis Rowley is on the phone now. So let's bring him right in here, out of the box. Thank you so much, Dennis, for calling us today and being available to talk to the audience of KKCR.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity. It's really disappointing during this campaign that the choice was made not to hold public forums.
Yeah, it's very unusual after so many public forums that they had, and we're talking about the let's hold that thought for a second and let's set you up and talk about you a little bit in the Kauai Island Utility Cooperative, which was Kauai Electric Company, a commercial venture, and was bought out and in the name of a cooperative. I don't know, has it been 10 years or so now, you know?
2002.
Okay, so 13 years ago. And so, Dennis, let's talk about the board of directors. Let's talk about you and the board of directors. The board of directors administers that cooperative. And give us a minute and tell us a little bit about you and you as a candidate.
I'd be happy to, Rick. My name is Dennis James Rowley.
Okay.
Lived in Hanapepe for the last 11 years. My family moved here to the Hilo area back in the 1890s during the Portuguese migration. So we have long roots here, and we really understand the value of listening. I'm
Dennis?
Yes.
I hate to interrupt you, but we do have Pat Geegan has had some challenges come up in his family, and he only has 5 minutes to be with us on the air. So if you could hold that thought, let me get with Dennis. Can you stay with us? And then, let me get with Pat, and then we'll talk. Then we'll get back to you in about 5 minutes, and then we'll be able to talk to you more in depth. Would that feel good, comfortable to you?
I think Pat's on right now.
Hey, Pat, are you on the air?
I am, yes. Thank you very much, and I apologize for not being able to be here the whole time.
That's okay, Pat. So I just want to understand, and I want to apologize. We are having a little bit of phone difficulty here, and we are working hard at it. Got a great team that's working on that issue because it's our mandate to have our mandate and our wish to have our listeners voice their opinions on the air, so we're working on that. Pat, how long do you have to be with us?
Maybe 5-10 minutes.
Okay, great. Well, let's talk a little bit about you and about, you know, you are an incumbent at the Kauai Island Utility Cooperative. How many years have you been on the board? Pat, are you there? Okay. Okay. Dennis, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I can answer for Pat. He's been there 3 years.
Thank you very much.
Full disclosure, Pat is a friend of mine, and just a great guy.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for that. We're working to get the phone lines straightened out here. Okay. Well, then let's take another minute till we get Pat back. And thanks everybody to their flexibility, and you certainly, Dennis. Tell us a little bit more about your background, and let's boil it down to do you think you're qualified to serve as on the board of directors, and how would you make a difference there?
Okay, thanks for that opportunity. I'm a graduate of Kubisaki High School in Naha, Okinawa. I got a Bachelor of Science degree in engineering, a Master of Science in Information Systems, and an MBA in executive management. All of those, I think, dovetail quite nicely with the requirements of KIUC. The thing that's important to note is that this wasn't just an educational opportunity. I followed up each of those degrees with proven work in the field. I've got quite a track record that I can point to with pride.
Okay. And do you have a website or anything like that where people could look you up? Or I think Apollo Kauai or the KIUC website has some more information on you. Is that true?
Yes, I do, but I do not have one myself.
Okay. You don't have a website, but people can go to get more detailed information. They can go to the Kauai Island Utility Cooperative website and look up the candidates for 2015 for a board of directors and get more information on Dennis Rowley. Dennis, now if you'll hold on, we're bouncing around here, but as we do, thanks for your flexibility. We have Pat back on the line. Pat, are you there with me?
Yes, I am. You can hear me, I presume.
I can hear you. I can. So let's try and maximize your time and see if the fairy goddess, the phone goddess, is working with us here for the few moments. So you've been on. Dennis confirmed you've been on the board for 3 years.
Yes, I have been, and Dennis is welcome to answer any other questions for me that I'm not able to. So.
Okay.
I have been on the board for 3 years, and as Dennis says, I do want to also acknowledge that I've known Dennis for a little over a year, I would say. Him and I both are on the Hawaii Hospital Services Corporation board.
Great.
And what I can tell you is Dennis is a fabulous member of that board, and he asks really good questions.
Great. Excellent.
To say the least. So.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, so let's talk. I want to get down, you know, one of our hosts here, Jonathan Jay, sent out some really interesting questions to the candidates and invited them all as we all been welcoming them on the air. And I want to maximize your time. Here's something that I want to get to you. Let me just give it to you straight, Pat. There's a sense out there in the community, and I'm researching this show and in my life here, that there's kind of like two mindsets on the board. There's like the what you might call the old school mindset, which is the safe way, we've been doing it forever, and then there is perceived to be the new mindset of the people that want to take us into new directions with maybe technologically more innovative methods. Do you want to say something? Confirm, deny, or say anything about that?
I can definitely understand where those perceptions are coming from, and I would say, in a sense, it's a very nice mix because you do end up with a balance. I'll tell you that when I originally ran for the board of directors about 5 years ago, I was definitely of the mindset that the board was moving much too slow and not progressive enough and not looking for, you know, ways to, one, clean up our act, per se, with burning as much oil as we did and getting onto the renewables. as well as finding ways to really use the natural resources that we have here and not exploit them, but to utilize them to our ability to meet our needs. And it really gets back to something that one of your calls called in about the Ahapua system, where I'd like to see us take care of all of our needs right here on island as best as we could. So how does that relate to the board? I'll tell you that everybody on the board does have the best interest of the co-op in mind, but there are definitely different ideas about the process of how to go about doing that. And I for one, am a person who's quite comfortable with change and pushing things a little bit out of the box as long as it's not taking an unnecessary or too risky of a risk.
Okay. You know, and I think that this, it seems like, now, let me understand this. We have 7 candidates running for 3 seats. Is that correct?
I believe there's a total of 8.
8 candidates, okay.
Yep.
And of those candidates, how many of those are, we have Karen Baldwin, she's an incumbent. We have you are an incumbent. And who else are incumbents on that?
Well, there's 2 other people who have been on the board. They're currently not sitting on the board.
Okay.
One is Mr. Dennis Sasaki, who
okay.
is one of the people who helped found KIUC
mm-hmm.
and did a lot of work there.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is a gentleman by the name of Mr. Stu Burley,
mm-hmm.
who has been off the board. Actually, the election that I got on 3 years ago is the election that he got off on the board.
I see. Okay, so he's coming back. He's coming back for that. Okay, so it's so there's 2 incumbents, 3 seats, and 4 candidates that that either are or have previously sat on the board.
Correct.
Okay. I'm going to leave it at that and maximize your time. I want to ask you something else. And Dennis, you're with us too in the background?
Yes, I am.
Very good. Thank you for hanging in there. Really appreciate that and us helping Pat out with the maximizing his time right now. And I think we do have Bill Peterson in the batter's box. Let's see, Tim, if we can give him a call and see if he wants to participate with us in the second part of the program and see if he's listened to the show so far. See if we'll work on that, see if we can pull some magic there. Can you tell me, Pat, what is the advantages or disadvantages of a utility cooperative? You know, I know cooperatives from, you know, the grocery store that's a cooperative.
Sure.
In some ways, you know, I think of it, you know, KKCR in some ways is not a co-op per se, but it's a nonprofit organization that runs and is administered by the people and in the people's interest and doesn't have a profit motive, which corporations are driven by most often. But as an advantages or disadvantages for a cooperative, how do you think that affects the decisions or could affect the decisions of Kauai Island Utility Cooperative?
Well, it definitely does affect the decisions. I mean, a number of years ago before I was on the board, I know that there had been some proposals out there where they were actually looking at utilizing coal as a fuel to produce electricity. And, I mean, it was the overwhelming, public outcry or public concern that stopped that from happening. Now, had we been an IOU, where the only thing that's important is to maximize our profits.
An IOU, a corporation, can we say?
Yes.
Yes.
That would have meant then that, you know, I'm going to do what I'm going to do to maximize
sure.
my profits and keep my
yes.
my shareholders happy. And, I mean, the easiest way to look at it is just take a look between the HECO companies and KIUC.
Yes.
And quite seriously, you can see some of the glaring differences that are there. HECO has been very inflexible in allowing solar on their lines. They make money by selling the most kilowatts that they possibly can. That's something that we are trying to change in our co-op and not have a bottom line or a margin that is based on just selling more kilowatts, because that is not what is best for our community.
Okay, and HECO, let's just for our callers, HECO's Hawaiian Electric Company, which actually that's a longer discussion we should have another time, but they are there's a proposed buyout of HECO right now.
There is, and I mean there's all sorts of problems with it, and it really has to do with the management style and the philosophy that they're based on. Now, some of the benefits, granted, we do pay some of the highest rates in the United States, we always have on this island. I can tell you that in the past, 10, 11 years since the co-op has been in full existence, there has been one rate increase for a total of 3%. Now, granted, our bills have gone up, but that is just because of the cost of oil, which we're too dependent upon. Once we can be less dependent on oil, our bills will fluctuate much less based on the cost of a barrel of oil. And in that 11 to 12 years, the co-op has also returned over $29 million to its member owners. And while doing that, we went from owning 4% equity to now owning about 26% equity in the company. So you can see that financially the money is coming back into our community. It's making the members, the owners of KIUC, starting out with zero equity. And basically anything that we make, if it were called profit, but it's basically our margin over a certain amount, goes right back to the community. And that actually is in the PUC law. And I mean, at some point we look to give even more back to the people who've taken a risk and allowed this co-op to take place.
Great. And just going to ask your favor, Pat, in that you let me know when you have 2 minutes in which you need to depart the call, please.
That sounds good, and I've got about 4 minutes right now.
About 4 minutes now. Okay,
yeah.
Great.
It's all based on traffic and, of course, my hands-free operation.
Okay, yeah, right. Right. We could tell you're on a cell phone, but it seems to be working all right then. There's something else that I've heard about that seems to be a national issue, and I hear that it has come home to KIUC, and I would feel fairly certain that it must be a discussion that goes on among the board, and that is that while for some period of time there it was promoted that people put solar panels and wind turbines and things in their homes to be able to, you know, generate power not only for themselves but back into the system. That I understand now that the rate that is paid to the home power generator is much less than what the company sells that power for, and that at some point that the rate that was paid to the home generator was reduced. Can you speak to that briefly and tell us a little bit about your position on home generating?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. So if you take a look at the electric company, assume that you've actually got two separate companies. One is a company that is in charge of taking electricity wherever it's distributed or wherever it's generated and making sure that balances out so that those who want it can get it, those who are making it can put it on. And in a sense, KIUC is just a player in that company. KIUC owns all the lines, you know, that is our company, but there's a certain expense and, maintenance of those lines, of the infrastructure that's necessary. So then the second component of the company is really the generation capability.
Yep.
And of course, KIUC has those both in solar, some limited hydro resources, as well as the majority of our fossil fuel burners that we have. So you take a look at it, and the concern is the price. You know, one of the concerns was the price coming back to the, call it the customer or the member here on Island. I can tell you that when I first put up my wind generator, I've got a small wind turbine, a 1.8 kilowatt at my house, and when I put it up, and you know, we were paying 45 cents or so per kilowatt, I was getting about 23 cents back. What that was a complex formula basically based on, set up by the PUC, that allowed KIUC to pay me for their avoided cost of generating electricity. Now, what you have to remember is that electricity was all based on burning that oil, okay? So that's where the majority of it was. Right now, for people who are getting that payout on Schedule Q, I think it's closer to about 15 or 16 cents versus the 23 cents. Part of that is just because it's still only because the cost of oil has decreased so much that, guess what? It's only costing KIUC 14, 15, 16 cents to make that kilowatt. Now, let me ask you this, Rick. As a customer of KIUC, as a member, if you have the opportunity to buy 23 cents electricity or 13 cents, and I'm talking just about the generation side, which one are you going to buy?
Mm-hmm.
you're going to buy the cheaper, the 13 cents. So does it make sense for KIUC to still pay me the 23 cents? It doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So what is going to happen? There's a docket in front of the PUC right now that says instead of basing it on the avoided cost of oil, we're going to base it on the avoided cost of making electricity, which now on our island, we still have our fossil fuel generators, which will be variable based on the cost of the oil. But we also have our solar, and our solar is coming in at 12.5, 13 cents a kilowatt. So we want to make sure that all of our members can enjoy those savings from us going to the renewables. And so it doesn't make sense for us to continue paying people like me who do export to the grid, you know, that higher rate, because why should you pay me more money and just charge my neighbor for it who doesn't have, you know, solar? Shouldn't he or she be able to get that solar for a cheaper price, just like, you know, everybody else? So that's, and I don't know if I did a good job of explaining that. That's kind of it in a nutshell. And I'll tell you, my position is I would like to see us continue allowing as much of the distributed generation, as much energy as people want to put on their houses. But that will take some changes, because right now, the minimum fee for me to be hooked up to the lines is $10 a month. And I can tell you that it costs significantly more for me just to be connected to the line than that. So we have to find a mechanism so that if I'm still going to use KIUC to be my backup, I have to be able to pay for what my fair share of those costs are.
Pat, in the few seconds you have left, what would you like to say in closing with regard to your continued seat on the board, continuing to sit on the board, and what you will provide, or what you will give? What gift do you have to offer as a continued board member? Why should people vote for you?
Sure. Well, thank you very much, Rick, and thank you, Dennis, for standing back and allowing me just a few minutes. But anyway, I would like to say, first of all, I'm very thankful for the people who voted me in 3 years ago. It has been a wonderful experience. I do understand the co-op business much better than I did. There definitely is a learning curve, but it's been wonderful. What do I add? I think that I do add a progressive voice, but also one that is very concerned about the person who's struggling out there and trying to get by. I want to reduce our rates. At the same time, I want to make sure that those reduction in rates are coming from means that we can live with over the long term. I've got children on this island. I've got grandchildren on this island. I want to make sure that our environment is as pristine as possible for them as they continue going on, but I also want them to be able to afford the electricity that's there. So it's really focusing on that. The other thing is I'm a very accessible person. I mean, people can get in touch with me, talk to me, give me their ideas, and I'm happy to discuss, you know, my perspectives and my understanding about what direction the board's going to go and different things. So I really do want to stay there and hope I am representing people well. And if they do feel I am representing them well, I hope that they will give me a vote. And if you want to see a little bit more about me, I do have a website. It is patgegen.com. So just my name put together, patgegen.com. And it hasn't been updated a whole lot, but there's some information out there. And otherwise, feel free to give me a call or send me an email.
Pat, thank you very much. I know you're having some trying times this afternoon. I appreciate you taking time to be with us here on Out of the Box. And we will look forward to meeting you again along the way, as I happened to bump into you the other night at the HAPA meeting. And
yep.
Good luck in your candidacy, and thank you for your service to the community.
Well, and thank you again for allowing me. I'm going to walk into the hospital and take care of some things right now, so I really appreciate that. And Dennis, again, thank you, and best of luck, Dennis.
Aloha, Pat.
Thank you. And I do want to, Dennis, we're going to get right into and spend the rest of the hour talking with you. I do want to thank Bill Peterson, who made himself available Bill says Pat is a great guy, and he supports him, and he supports Dennis. I love that. Very nice. Thank you, Bill. And Bill, it didn't work out for us to have enough time to put Bill on the air. We wanted to be able to give Dennis his fair share, and we will certainly be giving Bill an opportunity to hear him next week here on KKCR. Bill, back to you. So, now, what is it that you provide? I mean, you did talk about some of your academic accomplishments that you can bring to the board. Is there anything else that you haven't mentioned that would make you a candidate of the eight candidates that you think that you would be the candidate that people should vote for?
Yes, I
been here for 11 years now, first with the PMRF operations side of the house, and then we decided that we really needed to take a look at environmental compliance.
Mm-hmm.
So my title became Range Sustainment Coordinator.
At PMRF?
PMRF.
Okay.
And the primary focus of that for the initial time I was there was on environmental compliance.
Nice.
We did have an environmental coordinator on the range, but he left to take over one half of my job. He handled the science, I handled the operations and training, and there was a tremendous degree of overlap. Having that opportunity was just phenomenal. It gave us the chance to actively get out there and do good for the community. The outreach that was practiced was just a prime part of what we did. Probably most important of the activities was the emphasis that we put on the fallout problem. Nocturnal seabirds tend to fledge and then fly out to sea, using the moon as a reference.
Mm-hmm.
The young birds can get very easily distracted by bright lights and fly around that light trying to get their bearings until they fall out or fall to the ground. This is not always a fatal activity, but it's counted as a take by the regulators, and each take can be very pricey, as KIUC has found out.
Bill, Dennis, what I'd like you to do is bring that home to how those experiences will... That knowledge and experience you have will help you as a board member and help the larger utility cooperative.
That's my next sentence.
Oh, perfect. We're on the same page then. I love that.
Yes, we are.
Thank
Long preamble. But basically what we discovered was that there was a report that green lights could be utilized in place of white floodlights in industrial areas, primarily in North Sea oil platforms, and that would cut down on the incidence of fallouts. We went ahead and put together a program. Largely, that was done by John Berger, my compatriot. But the two of us worked together to take the fallouts there at PMRF from 12 down to zero in the last full year of counting.
Okay.
The impact of that on KIUC is that we're paying $11 million of our co-op's funds to mitigate the fallouts that are. That we draw due to the fact that we have power lines in the flyways. There's no way that we're going to be able to bury those lines. So, in an effort to cut down on the impact of those takes, I was coming down the hill from Hanapepe, taking a look at the power generation station there in Port Allen one night, and noticed that they had gone entirely green.
Mm.
And that's wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful. However, our observations during the time that we were reducing the fallout at PMRF was that it isn't the bandwidth of the light, that is, it isn't the green color that has nearly the impact that the intensity does. So it's the white light that seems to be most dangerous. Basically, what we did was very simple. We put shielded lighting on all of the exterior lights that above a certain intensity level, and that primarily allowed us to knock that number down to zero.
Wow, that's really great. So you would bring that knowledge and experience to the board. And Dennis, I want to kind of keep us moving along. There's a lot of questions I'd like to get in. So if you'll indulge me in that way, is there anything else in which you feel like the utility cooperative is maybe lacking in which you think you could bring something that would strengthen and make the organization better in some ways? If you could explain that in about a minute.
You bet. Talking to a lot of my friends and neighbors, there's a lot of confusion about just exactly what KIUC is all about. And I hang that on a lack of transparency. The KIUC does have a website and Currents Magazine and puts out a good effort to communicate with members. It's well-intentioned, but they're not really providing targeted information that the members want. And I cite the elephant in the room. That is, if there's a number of blind men each taking a look at the elephant, they're all going to have a different viewpoint. The one viewpoint that sort of coalesces around the way the co-op was bought and formed is that we grossly overpaid for it.
That's what I. That's a lot of people I had that opinion, yes.
And
what do we do now?
Yeah, we do now. Second, and I think equally important, is the question, why aren't we retiring debt from that evolution? Now, what I'd like to do is come up with some means of getting that information across in a clear and concise manner. Our co-op explained. That is, we can solicit high-level issues from the community, not just why did my rate go from $10 to $11, but actually come up with a means of answering these big questions and get them out to the community so that the understanding can set aside some of the confusion.
All right. Fair enough. Do you same question I asked Pat. I want to find out from you, do you see advantages or disadvantages in the co-op model as it relates to KIUC?
Oh, I think the biggest advantage is in its nonprofit status and the fact that it is owned by and serves the members. The downside of that is, and it breaks my heart, is I think due to a lack of trust, the participation rate in KIUC by the members is just abysmally low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we come up with about 25% of the members voting each time, and that is touted as being among the highest in co-ops nationwide. However, if you don't care to participate, then you're part of the problem. So I would like to do what I can to establish transparency by being an advocate for the members and setting this, getting the information they need to them so that we can understand why decisions were made and don't have to second-guess them.
Okay. Okay, great. Now, you know, one of the things that KIUC apparently is doing more these days, as I understand it, is utilizing water resources for power generation, and there that becomes a controversial issue. And this is something nationwide, as you know, they say, oh, the next big wars will be over, fought over water, and we're seeing this in drought and a lot of climate changes and things like that. And I wanted to ask you, where do you stand personally, and what positions would you support on the board with regard to using water, and when should we use water for power generation for the people of the island, and when should we not be using water?
Okay, a little background on that. KIUC's first entry into hydro with free flow power was more than a little rocky, and the reason that it generated so much ill will and distrust is because of the lack of transparency. The board did not announce its intentions, and people thought that they were doing trying to do an end run. They did nothing that was illegal, but it smelled.
Mm-hmm.
It smells. People are going to definitely feel that's wrong. So we haven't really battled back from that yet. As far as hydro goes, though, there's a pump power project on the west side out where we are that I've been following quite closely, and that is using a Coquay reservoir to let water out during the day. I'm sorry, let water out at night to drive a turbine.
Yes.
And then be pumped back up by solar power during the day. So, you know, of course, evaporative problems, but basically it's a net zero loss for water.
Yeah, I love that idea. I think that's really genius, and this is something that has been put into use or is in the works.
It's just clearing the last planning hurdles right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
One thing that's important, though, is that particular area of the Mana is very sensitive,
mm-hmm.
really.
Mm-hmm.
I think KIUC also could stand a little more focus on the issues to the Native Hawaiian community. My experience has been that if outreach is properly conducted, you're going to come to a conclusion that is satisfactory to each side. However, I don't think that's been the case in the past with the attempts that KIUC was made just in an exploratory nature, but still trod on some toes. from a cultural aspect.
And what would you suggest to become more in alignment or have better communication with the local Hawaiian community so that those things don't happen?
Well, I certainly think that we should go to the DHHL. I think OHA should be involved. I think that we should reach out to our neighbors here on the island, and even though they receive their power for free, I think they've still got a vested interest in the way it's generated and distributed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important to get them involved in our decision-making process.
Okay, great. I appreciate that. That's an important issue. So, let's see. Oh, we do want to allow, someone has a question for Dennis Raleigh, a candidate for the Kauai Island Utility Cooperative Board of Directors. You can call it in at 826-7771, and we will write that question down, and we will ask that question on the air. We're not going to put callers on the air because we don't have time for that. But if you have a nice, concise question you'd like to ask Dennis or ask any candidate, and Dennis happens to be the man of the hour, 826-7771. My trusted right hand, Tim Kalai, is sitting by the phones and be happy to take your call. You're listening to Out of the Box. I'm Rick C., and I'm sitting in today for Jimmy Trujillo here on KKCR. So let's go. One other thing about, do you have an opinion about the, as I was talking to Pat, about home generating systems and how those should be integrated into the into KIUC?
I am, I've been scratching my head when I look around the rooftops in the island and see so few people taking advantage of the natural resources that we have. And I understand, living where I do, that most people just can't afford that kind of an investment. But
yes,
with the abundant natural resources we have, we should be able to really knock down the requirement for power that we have to buy. And therein is part of the rub. KIUC has to understand that if we were to go to microgrids, that is neighborhood power distribution, from solar, and if we do get to a point, although it doesn't look like it's going to happen in the near future, where we have storage, effective storage for solar power, then we'd probably have to rethink the entire structure of KIUC, because what you've got now is an opportunity for people to be energy independent. And what that means is, all of a sudden, the role of KIUC is going to be significantly diminished as the power that is generated by the members individually starts to impact their business model. Now, granted, they still have the lines of transmission. They still have would probably be providing much of the battery storage for the island. But you have to take a look at exactly what impacts this is going to have on business. So am I for it? Yes, I'm for it. I also see some business realities that we have to attack before we make a leap like that.
Yeah, and without going backwards into the issue we talked about earlier, because I have time for one more question before we wrap up here at the top of the hour, I wanted to ask you, let's see, okay, back to my question. Yes, no, the point I wanted to make is that storing power, that's what the system is with using the sun to pump the water up to the pond. The pond is actually storing the power, as it were. And then it comes down, it turns the turbines at night. And that is one storage system that I think is very interesting. I like that solution.
Yes, it is. But unfortunately, we've got a very small island here. And the opportunities to do that over the entire island, it would generate sufficient power, probably aren't there.
Sure, of course not, but it is one solution, and I commend the cooperative for coming up with that and for instituting that. Here's my last question for you, Dennis. Tell me, what is your position on smart meters? It's a controversial thing on this island. Are you for the KIUC to continue the rollout of them? Are you in favor of the fee that the people who opt out of the smart meters need to pay? What is your position on smart meters?
All right. As a guy with an engineering background, I'm all for smart meters. And hear me out. I was happy to see it because now I use the data that's provided online to adjust our home usage. It's just my wife and I in an old plantation home that we've been able to meter our power and make adjustments that are putting bucks back in our pocket. So from that perspective, from an engineering perspective, I'm for it.
And from an engineering perspective, you believe that the accusations of ill health and degradation of health and things are ill-founded, unintended.
I've read holding your cell phone to your ear is probably as big a hazard as the EMR hazards that you're getting from your smart meter. At PMRF, we deal with that in our mission planning, and I can tell you that I am not a bit concerned about having my family, my kids, and the granddaughter over here. I don't think there's much real damage whatsoever for any potential health problems.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. I'm going to give you 1 minute to wrap it up. You're listening to KKCR Hanalei. If you could give us a 1 minute wrap up about anything you'd like to say about why people should vote for you, please. The minute is yours now, Dennis.
Thanks. Thanks very much, Rick. I really appreciate this opportunity, and I do appreciate the work that KIUC Board is doing to capitalize on the island's abundant natural resources. I understand that there's a cost that's associated with this, but I think like you and like most of my friends and neighbors, everyone's concerned about the high price of power here. It seems that we're making tremendous investments without really considering the impacts that the high power rate has on our friends and neighbors. And I think we really should take a look at not slowing the investments, but making sure we're making the proper investments, ones that keep money flowing here on the island and not to our mainland organizations, and really come up with a balance that we can all benefit from. I think that all of our members deserve that. I believe that my knowledge and experience would bring to the board a set of tools that's direct and relevant in importance. And I respectfully ask for the vote of your listeners, and would like to say that I have put together not a website, but an email. That's DennisRowley68@gmail.com. And I would welcome any questions that any of your listeners have. That's DennisRowley68@gmail.com. And again, Rick, thanks very much for the opportunity.
That'd be great. Spell your name, Dennis Rowley.
R-O-W-L-E-Y.
DennisRowley@gmail.com. Thank you again very much, and thank you for your service to run for a community serving position on the local island utility cooperative. And I will look forward to seeing you and meeting you in person. I look forward to that, Dennis.
Thanks very much, Rick.
All right. Aloha. You're listening Out of the Box. We're going to go over to the engineer, Dove, and take care of some station business. And we'll be right back. I got Gary Hooser in the station, and we'll be talking with him about the new organization, HAPA, the Hawaiian, let's see, what is it? Hawaii Alliance for Progress and Action.
Progressive Action.
Progressive Action. There we go. There's your teaser. There's the man's voice. That's proof in the station. Here we go over to Dove. Thank you.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Moloa'a, K284AL Haleiwa.
Out of the Box is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Hawaii Life and Tahiti Nui.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO Free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. All right. That was less than a minute, but...
Wow, here we are.
Here we are.
Back already.
Yes, there we
go. I'm Rick C., R-I-C-S-E-A-M-O-U-S-E. I'm here on KKCR on Out of the Box. I want to say hello to Tim Kalai. Tim hasn't chimed in. Tim, you've been fighting the phones over there, doing a great job. But how are we doing? We think we worked those things out?
I think we have gotten all the cues out. You know, now that we were told what's happening with it, that's
very
a great thing to happen.
We didn't have all the information.
So, there
is an issue with the phones. So.
Okay.
But we'll fix it.
So, Jimmy, it's not my thumbs, my man.
It's not my thumbs.
No. Right. If you're out there listening, it's not my thumbs. All right?
Yeah, very good. Well, thank you for showing up here and doing that hard work.
Well, thank you for filling in, too.
Yeah,
really
awesome.
Appreciate it so far. It's been great.
Great. Well,
you know, and
awesome.
I know the second half's going to be even a tad bit better.
Well, I don't know. You know, Gary's here. You know, we got people out there with Lays, and we got people out there with burning crosses.
Because
Gary's, ready. So
that's excitement on Kauai, passion.
Here we
Gary
are.
Brings passion.
So. I invited Gary Hoosier here. Good evening, Gary.
Good evening, Rick.
Yeah. Hey, I'm so glad that you could come. Thank you for being here to talk tonight about, I guess it's not really night, but it feels like that, in the early evening hours, talk about HAPA, Hawaii Alliance for Progressive Action.
That's correct.
And it's a new organization, relatively new, to a few months in which it's been legitimized and probably been in your brain for years or something?
It's been in my brain for years.
Yes.
Not by name, but by concept of a statewide progressive advocacy group. And about a year ago, it kind of all came together. So we're about 9 months old right now. We're a 501c3, the Hawaii Alliance for Progressive Action, HAPA. And if people want to find out more, then go to hapa.org, HAPA.org. We're a statewide organization based on Kauai. We have about 17 members on the board, and out of that, about 5 people are Kauai residents from all parts, north, south, east, and west.
So before we get into all the nitty-gritty of HAPA, what I wanted to let the audience know is we will be taking calls in a little while on the show. And one thing I'm going to be very adamant about, and this is a show about HAPA. This is not a show about Gary Hoosier, who happens to be on the county council for Kauai. And we're not going to be talking about smoke ordinance. We're not going to be praising and telling him all the great things he did about, you know, was it 2491? We're not going to be vilifying him for those kinds of things. Those are things you can do later in person on the letters to the editor, go to the council meeting. This is about HAPA, and that's where we want to focus the show tonight. And so HAPA seems to me to be an interesting opportunity. I love the name. HAPA is, I'm just a guy who's been come to these islands for 50 years and lived here part-time for many times. It seems like a blending.
It is a blending. And we consciously put our board of directors together as that blend.
I love that.
So we represent all walks of life. We have young, emerging leaders. We have old, more mature leaders. We have women. We have Native Hawaiians. We have people who were not born here.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we have labor leaders, environmental leaders, equality, people involved in the equality movement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, people from every county.
Great. That's awesome. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to set this up a certain way. I'm going to set this up a certain way. There was a meeting Monday night.
That's right.
And I believe you said it was the first community meeting they've had for HAPA?
That's right. We've had meetings. I mean, obviously, we have board of director meetings,
sure.
and I meet one-on-one with a lot of people. But this is the first time that we had a membership meeting.
Ah, yes.
Which people who have signed up, if you go to the website, you can join HAPA. It's free. Mm-hmm. Just mm-hmm. your address, name, and email.
Right.
And we invited all those folks who have signed up to HAPA to say, let's have a community meeting. We had Paul Achitoff from Earth Justice,
yes.
who's a board member. He spoke. We had Alika Atei from Maui.
He was fantastic.
The guy was really
very inspirational speaker.
And then Dustin Barca and myself both spoke. And so it's an opportunity, and I think that's what's lacking. That was one of the reasons for HAPA, is to bring the community together.
Yes.
People of who share a common worldview, whether it's environmental or just progressive values in general, mm-hmm. to let's get together for some networking and fellowship, for some education, good speakers, and some good food.
And, you know, and stronger in numbers,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So what happened when I walked in the door? And was they had me here, sign in, please. I gladly signed in. They had already had my email information. But then they gave me a sheet and said, please write down your three issues that you think are most important for HAPA to become involved with. As a new organization, they are looking for feedback from the community about things where you think that the people... people's concerns could be better met, issues that you think that their support of an organization and all the infrastructure, if you will, of the, or I guess intellectual power they have, strengths that they have, could be brought to bear. So we're going to do the same thing. I would like to invite the callers to to provide us with the three things that they think are most important. We're going to do this off the air. We're not taking calls on the air yet. 826-7771. I'd like to limit it. Gary, tell me if I'm wrong. I'd like to limit it, not put GMOs on that list, because I think everybody wants GMOs, and there's another reason not to put that on.
Well, when HAPA was first formed, which is relatively recently, we're definitely engaged in the pesticide, big ag, corporate GMO issue. So that's on the table already.
Right.
But we're about much more than that. So what we're really looking for is issues. We have capacity to do more things. And part of the main principles of HAPA is the think global and act local. And so we're not, as an organization, going to be going after every hotel development or every highway or that kind of thing. We're really looking at bigger picture items.
Right.
It could be minimum wage. It could be homelessness. It could be, any number of things.
Or development in general, rather than, and to come up with a better overall plan for development rather than going after one hotel.
That's right. People have mentioned things like the precautionary principle.
Yes.
Why can't government in Hawaii and Kauai use a precautionary principle as a driving force to make decisions?
Now that you brought it up, go ahead. What is the precautionary principle? Let everybody know.
The precautionary principle means that you take into consideration consequences before you make that decision, and you err on the side of precaution. You don't do a cost benefit analysis, which is most common, or you might do one, but that doesn't drive your decision. You don't measure. A lot of times right now, decisions are measured by, this costs this many lives, or it costs this much money, and if we tear down this forest or we develop this beach, it's going to have economic impacts. But we want to err on the side of caution. We don't need definitive proof. If you use the pesticide example, for example, you don't need to prove that these pesticides are actually killing people. It's enough to know that they're harming people's health.
Very good. So 826-7771, and I'm going to ask you again to be concise with just nail your three issues. Tell Tim what those issues are. We can't have a whole bunch of conversation going on because Tim's a busy man and we got other calls. And so if you'll give us that respect of just calling in, give us the three issues that you would like HAPA to deal with, then we will be talking about those and bringing those into the show as we go along. Let's get back. Gary?
I was going to say, this is a real exercise, too. It's not just going through the motions.
Right.
Actually, HAPA, we have a strategic planning session scheduled for later this month. And our board of directors is going to be sifting through these issues to say, what do we want to address next?
Yeah.
And HAPA has a capacity, let's say it's a development issue. We have the capacity to go and look at different ways to solve the problem, to help organize a community, to put forth legislative ideas possibly and support those. We do not lobby. We're a 501c3, so we don't testify in support of anything, certainly before the Kauai County Council or anything like that. But we can help in the development of those ideas and support an infrastructure to move those ideas forward.
Okay. All right. So, Gary,
yes.
Some people are wondering, why form another organization? I mean, how many organizations do we have already?
Right.
And And so my sense is that you and the people who are in HAPA got some criticism about that. And maybe that's founded. Can you tell us what your reasoning is to found this? You are one of the main founders. And
well, the original idea bubbled up, if you would, because there is no overarching organization that's statewide that really incorporates neighbor islanders actively into it that deals with a variety of progressive issues. There's lots of silos. There's no shortage of environmental organizations. There's gay rights organizations. There's those kinds of things, but there aren't any overarching dealing with progressive issues in general, and there certainly aren't any that I know that are actively doing what we hope to do. And that is three things. That's organize, communicate, and advocate. Those are the three main things that we're going to be working on. Organize, communicate, and advocate. There's not enough education. There is no go-to source in our state in general for progressive issues. Issues like minimum wage. Lots of the Chamber of Commerce and lots of other more conservative organizations are out there saying minimum wage is going to hurt the economy. But we know that we have plenty of information to the contrary. So to get those kind of ideas and information out into the general public.
Are you saying then that there are organizations statewide that represent a, shall we say, less than progressive point of view, and that there was a lacking in the area of having a statewide organization for progressives?
Yes, absolutely. There's several organizations that represent actively in the media and at the legislature and around the state. Things like the Tax Foundation, which is a very conservative organization and a conservative tax policy. You know, okay. I believe in a progressive tax policy.
Okay.
There's an organization called the Grassroots Institute, which again is a very, one could argue a Tea Party type of mentality. And there was no, in my opinion, broad-based organization, credible organization, reaching out to the entire state on progressive issues.
So then it's a counterbalance to some degree.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, great. And you know, it's kind of interesting because KKCR and community radio is a counterbalance.
That's right.
KKCR and community radio are as you read our mission statement, is to provide alternative voices and support alternative points of view. And when people say alternative to what? Well, it's basically, what is dominant in our culture. And I think that's an interesting answer. Now, but here's another problem I think people are having, Gary, is you're the president of this organization, okay? Tell us why we shouldn't believe this is a vehicle for you, that you would, okay, so Gary eked out the election and just barely ended up on the council again this time, and it simultaneously Gary put this organization together and he's the president. Well, that's the timing is kind of, suspicious in some people's minds as to why isn't this just something that really would serve Gary?
Well, first of all, I'm doing this as a volunteer. I get no income whatsoever for it, number one. And number two, this allows a more of a statewide focus rather than a Kauai focus. It allows a more expanded focus. And if Gary was worried about his next election, Gary wouldn't be working on fireplace smoke and other issues like that. Would not. There's no question.
Thank you for that.
People that know politics and know Gary knows that Gary tries to do what Gary thinks is the best thing he can do for the community.
Okay.
And I've been blessed to be reelected for many, many years. I've lost a few elections, and I've won a lot more. But getting reelected or getting elected is not the driving force for me. I don't have any plans for running for higher office, if you would. I'm not even sure if I'm going to run for the Kauai County Council 2 years from now. I've served the state Senate for 8 years. I've ran for bigger offices and lost. I'm really happy living and doing what I'm doing right now. And, I'm telling my life. The HAPA organization is something that I've thought about for a long time and thought about there's a need, and it allows, good people, like-minded people to get together. But, it's interesting, Rick, that you bring this up because I get banged sometimes for leading. And I ask people sometimes, what am I supposed to do? Just sit in the back of the class? I'm not supposed to speak out. I'm not supposed to talk. I'm not supposed to advocate because it's somehow all about Gary. I can't let that inhibit me from from speaking out and working hard on these issues and leading. You know, people ask me for help, and I try to step up and do the best I can to provide that help to the community. You know, over the years, actually, serving in the Senate for 8 years, 4 years as majority leader in the Senate, serving as a director of environmental quality control, that's all prepared me for the position I'm in right now in terms of dealing with these issues and being an advocate.
Okay.
And, yeah.
So there's no financial gain for you?
No financial gain whatsoever. In fact, it costs me money.
Okay.
You know, it really does. And just quickly, I know we're not going to talk about the council thing, but you cannot avoid that I am a council member. So I was elected to the county council, so that is, I am Gary Hoosier, the council member, but I don't represent the council. And HAPA has no benefit. HAPA does not get paid from the county government. HAPA doesn't lobby the county government. I get no financial benefit out of it whatsoever.
There's no crossover then?
No.
Okay. All right.
I mean, there's a crossover in terms of values, ideology. So I as a council member, have concerns about big ag and corporate kind of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, HAPA as an organization shares those concerns. But there is no lobbying, if you would. And there's certainly no crossover with the Coy County Council.
Thank you. Okay, I'm talking to Gary Hoosier. We're here on Out of the Box. My name is Rick C. It's about 20 minutes after 5 o'clock here at KKCR.
Just want to apologize real quick, Gary. We're getting our new air conditioning installed. If you're hearing the drilling, you didn't know what was going on. Like, what's going on around here?
That's progress,
so,
folks.
Yeah,
that's progress.
And we want to thank all the listeners out there who gave donations to
yep.
the station for us to get our air conditioning. We've had it out for about 2 months now, and so we're finally getting it installed. So.
Well, thank you, Dove. I thought it was people trying to break in here and get to me here.
Right.
High security here.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Tim's on the phone. I want to check in with him in just a minute. We're getting calls, people who are calling in and giving us questions to ask. But we're going to, if I can get Tim's attention. Hey, Tim. I'm the priority now. Okay, put that guy on hold. Here we go. We're on the air. Tim, tell us, have we had people call in and give their three priorities for what they think HAPA should be doing? Anybody given them that yet?
Well, right now, I'm in the midst of a call currently taking. I've gotten two-thirds of the way
live
through.
Live to our reporter.
Well,
yes,
there
yes.
you go.
Yes.
And if I can, I'll get the last comment so that we'll get all three. But there were two other questions which came in. I'm not sure, Rick, if you want to touch on those.
We'll get to those.
Okay, great.
But as far as this is, you're talking to the first person who's given their
three points, and they're all very well taken so far. I'm liking what I'm seeing.
But
I'll get the last one, and I'll come right back to you on this. Okay?
We'll thank you very much, Tim. We'll go back to Tim in a little bit about that. I do want to say that we will be taking calls here on the air and have concise questions for concise answers with Gary Hoosier. We're talking about HAPA, the Hawaii Alliance for Progressive Action, here on Out of the Box. And again, 826-7771 if you would like to call in and give us your three suggestions for HAPA, because as Gary said, this is actually a survey they're doing now to be able to know what direction to go. Gary.
We talked about Gary as president of HAPA, founder of HAPA,
yes.
which is true. But my goal, as soon as possible, is to step out of that position.
Mm-hmm.
And we have several people on the board, young. We have someone, I think, as young as 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're looking for young emerging leaders to mentor,
right.
to put those people in the positions of leadership. And I can support and nurture that. And get great satisfaction out of that.
Very briefly, can you say the other members of the board? I know you have Walter Riddy.
Walter Riddy is from Molokai is on the board. Paul Achitoff from Earth Justice is on the board. A fellow named Cade Watanabe, who's a part of the leadership of Local 5, one of the most most progressive labor union in the state. A woman, Kim Koko Iwamoto, who's from Kauai but lives in Honolulu. A woman named Bianca Isaki, who's with Kahea, which is a Hawaiian environmental advocacy organization. Mm-hmm. And another woman, Karen Shisato, who's formerly with Common Cause and with KANU, I think, right now. We have Aria Castillo from the south side, Malia Chan and Josh Mori, both from the west side here, Lorelani Torrio from Anahola. The I'm running out of names.
No, well, I put you on the spot there, and I commend you for having that, committed that many to memory.
Yeah,
and,
Katie McMillan, who's a publicist actually for McConnell. She has her own public relations company from Maui.
Nice.
A woman named Laura Harrelson from Maui also. And a couple of people from the Big Island. Yes, so we've got a good, diverse board. I'm really, really proud of our board. And they have, well, like Walter Riddy, he's a historical figure. I mean, this fellow, he's done so much with his life.
Yes.
And Paul Achtoff, same thing. Ikaika Hussey, he publishes a publication called the Hawaii Independent. They're just all really connected in different parts of the community.
I didn't know Walter or his name at the time when I lived on Maui in the 70s. I remember when they took over a Koholawe.
That's right.
And that was a real turning point. And I believe, in my experience, and maybe it's just my awakening, but then I really think that where the Hawaiian culture started to regain and take back their culture. And I think it's been a great movement. I've been pleased to see that. We're going to open up the phone lines in 5 minutes. So we're going to go back to our intrepid reporter on the phone lines, Tim Kalai. What do we have there over there?
Okay, here we come with the report. Yeah. We had a person call in, and of course, it's three good topics
here. Yeah.
You know, the third one was a little bit tough,
to
come up with. But Gary, and I'm going to direct this towards you, of course. She was wondering, in terms of the organization HAPA, she had realized, or the person did, that on this island that we have very limited, if any, alcohol or chemical rehabilitation centers, you know, and not necessarily just looking at one, but possibly like having little pods around the island, you know, so that we can help facilitate, you know, helping these people that have these chemical dependencies.
Mm-hmm. Now, rather than turn these into questions, I want you to finish all three, and then we'll decide where we're going to go.
That was number one.
Yep.
Second, leading into this then, was dealing with possibly helping with provisions for our nomadic tribes peoples on this island. You know, those people that may be in the classification of homeless, but at the same time don't necessarily maybe want a full structured home. You know, is there something that HAPA is looking at, you know, to create something of that nature, whether it's a tent city place, something, whatever, where they can come in, maybe even get help medication-wise, too, you know, if they have injuries or illnesses or something like that, you know, just on a short-term, whatever kind.
And number three?
And then number three on there, is HAPA doing anything possibly to help with bridging, you know, the connection between the Hawaiian sovereign movement and how it's unfolding, you know, with the United States and where that may possibly be going?
Gary, I'm going to let you reply to one of those, and then we're going to move on.
Okay, the Hawaiian sovereignty one is one that jumps out at me because we mentioned Walter Riddy.
Yes.
We have other people on our board of directors that are very experienced, very involved with that. And Walter, we've been having conversations on that, actually, and this last couple months, there's been a lot of talk about bringing the Hawaiian movement and the environmental movement, the broader base, together. You know, you look at issues like the ADC, Agribusiness Development Corporation, on this island. There's 18,000 acres, and we're fighting right now, for the want of a better word, on the pesticide, GMO, experimental crops. But what we're missing is that land is crown lands. Those are historical, you know, Hawaiian lands. And one could argue that's a continuing of the imperialism that took over those lands how many years ago. And so the Hawaiian movement is starting to get involved from that aspect, and others of us are involved in the other. You know, I don't ever put myself forward as a leader in Hawaiian sovereignty. I'm there to learn and to support those people who know much more about it than I do, people like Walter Riddy and others that are on our board.
Great. Excellent. One thing I did want to get to, we're going to open up the phone lines at 5:30 here on Out of the Box. So, Gary, there's something about, and this came around, I believe there was discussion on Monday night, and I know it's been in my mind, home rule. And I think that there has been some discussion in the media and within the advent of the state trying to usurp the county's initiatives on the GMO issue and the way that's going down. We don't want to get into the discussion of that because that could be the whole rest of the show and then some. But what I do want to ask is, what about the idea of home rule, the concept of that, and how could that apply to an advocacy or a position that the HAPA may take, and how that might, if that is successful, how that might help our communities.
You know, this is a national movement toward local government. If you look around, people are fed up with the federal government and its gridlock and its lack of ability to do anything. State governments are also, both the state and the federal government, are dominated by big business, big money, and big institutions. And so people more and more are looking at local governments to make those kind of choices and decisions. HAPA, if you were there, I don't know if you got a T-shirt or not.
I did. Thank you very much.
But our T-shirt says, Catalyzing Change, Empowering Communities. And you know, catalyzing change. Yeah, there goes that drill again. I don't know. Can everybody hear that drill?
It's just pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. It's all right.
So
it's progress.
So empowering communities, local control, home rule. And so we're very, very much focused on that. And during our upcoming, it is kind of hard to keep track of the conversation with that a little bit. But so we're looking at how do we empower home rule.
Yes.
And, you know, I believe we need a federal and state government. You know, we definitely do. And those they have provide greater protections. But we need to take more responsibility for ourselves locally. The Maui miracle, if you would. Okay.
Which what we're citing is the initiative on the island of Maui, the county of Maui,
that's right,
to ban GMOs. Right. I don't have all the details, but I know that it won, and it is referred to as the Maui miracle.
Right. And it was technically a moratorium. Many people characterize it as a ban, but it was I think legally a moratorium, maybe a long moratorium, but it was a moratorium. Okay, but if you use that for example and take away the subject matter for a second, you know what happened on Maui was 10,000-11,000 people got together. You know, they signed a petition, and spearheaded by five people. Five people got together and said, "We're going to do this." And they went out in the community and built a grassroots movement, a very diverse grassroots movement. Got 11,000 or so, I think at the end of the day, about 19,000 signatures, put something on the ballot that they were very passionate about, fought against a major corporation who spent $10 million plus or minus a couple million.
Yes.
And this grassroots movement
mostly
won.
Mostly Monsanto.
Yes. And they won.
Yep.
They spent less than $100,000 total, and they won. And that is a powerful message of home rule and grassroots involvement. They're in court? Yes. But it shows what a few people can do, galvanizing their own community. So I'd like to take that concept,
yep,
as HAPA, and say, well, how can we direct that to other areas? You know, and how can we change the Kauai Charter, for example? You know, I mean, I'm a council member. I've been in government, and I know Kauai County Council and any county council, any state legislature is going to make incremental change.
Yes.
Small changes.
Yes.
But if you want large changes, you need to. You know, people can do those large changes. But it's a lot of work. So you can take a large change like the Maui initiative or anything else that's within the county authority, put it on the ballot that people can vote. And so we're looking at options like that.
Yes.
You know, the Kauai County, for example, if the people wanted to, they could put in the Kauai County Charter that sustainable agriculture and local food production is our priority. You know, they can say right. that all agriculture is not equal. You know, our priority is sustainable and define it. And local food production.
Now, you know, I'm going to draw the line there and say that's enough discussion about GMOs on this show. I don't want to go there because the whole rest of the show could be about that. I appreciate you bringing that in. I think the point you made the other night at the meeting is that that is in the courts now. That decision in Maui, the Big Island, and Kauai are in the courts with regard to the state and state power
right.
and whatnot. So I'm going to leave that off
right.
the side. I'm going to ask the callers to do the same. We're not going to be discussing GMOs. We're not going to be discussing council issues. We're not going to be talking about Gary's history, doing good, bad, all of the above. But what we're talking about here is HAPA. And if you have questions, interests, and you'd like to pose a question, we have a couple of questions have already been posed and handed to me in writing here on Out of the Box. I'd be happy to take your calls now, 826-7771. Dove is behind the controls helping me get this together. And I don't know the name of the guy outside drilling, but he's doing a great job, whatever he's doing. You know. And Tim Kalai is answering phones. Gary Hooser is my guest here on Out of the Box. Gary.
So if we leave those topics on the side.
Yes.
What other topic that would be appropriate for a ballot initiative? What other,
yes.
if the people of Kauai, the community of Kauai wanted to say, we want to change our government for the better. Is it campaign spending reform? Is it districting, is that, you know, there are other very valid changes that we can make here as a community. And that's kind of what I'd like to hear is what other changes can we make as a people?
I agree. And you can actually give those to Tim off the air and mention one, two, or three of those. Or we could take a, as I say, when we have interesting guests and very little time, we have concise questions for concise answers. And I'm going to run it hard. We'll pod you down if you're going on. But we're going to ask you for that. I want to follow up. We have a caller. I'm going to go to him in just a minute. I do want to follow up about the home rule issue, which is very interesting. I think it's a crossover issue for the quote-unquote left and the quote-unquote right. Now, the Republicans have been saying for, you know, I give them a lot of credit for decades now about government off my back. And I'm wondering if when you talk, and I'm going to ask you for a concise answer just like for the rest of the show, can you tell me whether or not you're finding any positive response with the more conservative Republican members of our community who agree that we should have home rule with regard, and maybe home rule is great except for this issue that I, you know, want to protect. What's your experience in that? I think it's an interesting nexus and a turning point.
Well, it's exactly what you said. Home rule is good except for this other issue.
Except for what's important to me. Yes.
I think that's what you're finding. I think most people instinctively believe in democracy, and even direct democracy. Mm-hmm. And I think you can carry that too far myself. You know, we would still have slavery. You know, we would still have lots of other things if everything is put to a vote. But this is where the rubber meets the road in our community. We know this community better than anyone. We know it better than the state legislators, certainly better than the federal government. So local home rule is where the values start.
Great. All right, we're going to take the first caller here on Out of the Box. I'm Rick C. with Gary Hooser. And hi, you're on the air.
Gary, I have a question for you.
Sure.
I heard about a bill that they wanted to stop people from caloping and making smoked meat and all that.
Yeah, that was a topic that we weren't going to talk about.
Yeah,
but that is not true. There was a bill about burning inside a house in a fireplace that was smoking the neighbors out, and it got twisted around. But that wasn't really going to be something we talked about today. You're welcome to call me offline, you know, and I'd be happy to talk to you about that.
How can people get a hold of you, Gary?
My cell phone 652-4279.
652-4279. Thank you very much, and thanks for your understanding, caller. We're looking to focus on HAPA tonight and the benefits that HAPA may provide, or at least that Gary and this board of directors believe that it has an opportunity to provide for our community. 826-7771. Gary, somebody else called in and asked about whether or not HAPA would be able to get involved in bringing about what they called a realistic working class wage.
Yes,
living wage.
That is something that's on the table right now that we're talking about as a board. It's a movement across the nation. There's this I think they call it Fight for 15. Mm-hmm. Seattle City Council did it. San Francisco put it on the ballot. There's traditionally minimum wages are a state issue or a federal issue. So this is a good example of the home rule point. Over the past couple of years, cities and counties have been passing their own minimum wage laws.
I see.
And so we're looking at that. We're looking at the legality of that to see if what the Constitution says.
Well, it's interesting. It's a nationwide issue. And I think, without me trying to promote or give credit to where it started, it certainly has trickled down now to where it is actually on the Republican platform now. Mm-hmm. And in the fallout to that, I believe that was the reason that Walmart recently acknowledged that they were going to raise the wages of many of their low-income workers. I don't know whether that's going to take them off the dole, as has been a complaint for years, but it is a nationwide issue. And so then HAPA, you believe, is looking into that and may be able to facilitate that locally.
Well, yes, and it comes back. I talk about organize, communicate, advocate. And the communication part and the advocacy part raises the level of dialogue around our community, around our state, around the nation. And so then when that dialogue reaches certain levels, big companies like Walmart says, oh, my goodness, we better do something, raise our wages. Otherwise, you know, the masses are going to put stuff on the ballot, that kind of thing. So just having the conversation and increasing that level has a big positive impact.
Great. Great. I'm going to remind the listeners again that if you have an issue that's important to you, you can either call in and make your point to Gary, and that you believe that HAPA should be acting on that as a progressive action within the state of Hawaii, as is their mandate. Or you can just give that information to Tim very briefly, and we will get that out on the air for you. 826-7771. I'm Rick C. here with Gary Hooser talking about HAPA. So another caller asked Gary about can HAPA be involved in educating local farmers to the effects of pesticide use beyond even crops?
I suppose we could. You know, what HAPA, we have tremendous capacity. So we're reaching out into the different communities and throwing out ideas, discussing things to see what the people want to do. Because at the end of the day, HAPA doesn't do it. HAPA supports, HAPA advocates, HAPA facilitates, but they have to be grassroots. So you take the minimum wage for a second?
Yes.
Okay, so HAPA would do the work on that in terms of the homework, but at the end of the day, it has to be workers. You know, it has to be people that need the benefit to step up and volunteer and provide that grassroots effort. So if enough farmers or enough people in the community wanted something, the education that you're talking about, then HAPA can certainly look into supporting that. But we're not there to impose our agenda mm-hmm. on Kauai or anywhere else.
Okay.
We're there to plant seeds mm-hmm. and to see if they get traction. So
GMO seeds or not?
No.
Gary, come on. I'm pinning you down here. Give me an answer.
No GMO seeds.
No GMO seeds. Okay,
either.
Great.
Yeah.
You heard it first here on KQCR, ladies and gentlemen. I want to ask you can you distinguish for me it seems a little confusing that HAPA is going to advocate and advocating, but they're not proposing issues to work on. Can you split that?
So at the end of the day, we advocate.
Yeah.
But initially, we're trying to catalyze.
Okay.
So I'll go back to the minimum wage discussion. So we put that discussion like we're having now on the table. And then if it gets traction, if people in the community say, you know, well, we want to do that. Mm-hmm. If enough people step up, then HAPA can say, okay, we want to help you do that. You know, so we're trying to stimulate the conversation. It could be about homelessness, could be minimum wage, it could mm-hmm. be mm-hmm. pesticides, mm-hmm. agriculture. We're into catalyzing progressive change and supporting that change. We don't want to dictate that change. We want to be there to support it.
You're not originating the concepts. You're like you're working with a homeless group says, HAPA, we could use your help. And then you say, this seems like something that you know, we want to work on. The board decides this is something we put our time, our energy, our funding into, and then they advocate alongside of another organization. Is that correct?
That's correct, but a little bit more than that. You know, so we would have the conversation about homelessness, let's say, and have more and more conversations with different groups, because there's a lot of different groups here and there around the state working on different issues. So as we facilitate that conversation, we see what emerges mm-hmm. and where we might be able to help.
Mm-hmm.
It could come in all shapes and forms. And we're not limited just to one issue. You know, we have capacity. We have a dynamite board. We have a lot of synergy with our board. We have a certain ability to raise funds because we have a good board. And we have a lot of good, smart people, a lot of experience. And we want to focus that experience where we can do it best. We're going to have a strategic planning meeting, a two-day work retreat, looking at all these issues. And then our board is going to say, hopefully, at the end of that day, to say, okay, let's make this our next issue. Because we're not letting go of the pesticide corporate land use issue that we're working on right now that we started on with 2491. We're not letting go of that.
Right.
That's part of our roots. That's at Maui, Hawaii County, Kauai County are deep into that. And we're going to continue supporting those efforts as well. But we have the capacity to do something else. We're not a GMO organization. We're a progressive advocacy organization.
Now, at the top of my list, I wrote my three things down that are important. And very clearly to me is that Hawaii become more self-sustaining. I lived on Maui in the 70s, and I went through a Matson strike. I knew what that was about. That created a lot of turmoil, a lot of discussion, a lot of challenge in the state at that time. So that's an issue that's always been of importance to me. And it seems like it's a, the issue's still the same. Here we are. That was 1978, the 30 some odd years later, 37 years later. I actually interviewed incumbent candidate Governor Ariyoshi as he was running for re-election. I interviewed him for Maui Community Television and asked him that question back then.
Back then.
Yes. And it doesn't seem like we've made a lot of progress. And so I want to keep hope alive, as they say. But, Gary, you know, is that something HOPA can help with?
That's something HOPA is working on right now. So the issue that is front and center for us is the issue that started with 2491, again, moved to Maui and the Big Island, dealing with pesticides, big agrochemical companies. Now, directly related to that, the flip side of that is exactly what you're saying, Rick. It's food sustainability. It's doing agriculture the right way. So HOPA, I mentioned the ADC earlier.
Yes.
They have 18,000 acres here, crown lands.
The acronym stands for? ADC?
Agribusiness Development Corporation.
Thank you very much.
That's a quasi-public-private organization managing public lands.
Yes.
Okay. Most of those lands are here. There's 18,000 acres, 90% or more is used for other than food production.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's either experimental crops or biomass, trees.
Mm.
So it's very little food production. So HOPA, one of the people, Leif Beal, who's our acting executive director, was looking into this and realized this. And so then she put together a concept. And think about this. This is kind of a wild concept. The concept is we should use that land for food production. This is agricultural land, land that's zoned agriculture. It's owned by the people, and that we should use that land for food production. So we helped formulate a bill that said to the told, if it was passed into law, that you must use at least 50% of these lands for local food production.
Oh, it's
right up here.
Fantastic.
Right, exactly what you're saying.
Yes.
It's struggling right now. It may not make it any, you know, it may die soon, but we're doing our best to support it and to educate people mm-hmm. on that.
Mm-hmm.
The other issue is on the charter amendment. Like I said, the people could do that. The people could demand. We're the Garden Island. We want to change our charter to say food sustainability is the number one priority in agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
So the people have the ability to do that.
Very nice.
You know, so they can do that today. And so those issues are front and center for us because they're related to the issue we're already working on. You know, when you get into income or homelessness, it's further away from the issue we're starting with.
Right.
So it's a natural progression to go into the food sustainability, supporting sustainable agriculture.
Great. I'm letting the callers know that and listeners, too, that we are going to be going until 5:55. Tonight, so we have about 10 minutes left here, maybe 8 minutes left. If you want to get in a call, now would be the time, a concise question for a concise answer, or if you want to put your three priority items that you would like HOPA to advocate for you on, call us 826-7771. You're listening to KKCR. I'm Rick C., and I'm here with Councilman Gary Hoosier. We're talking today, though, about the new organization, which he is part of and the president of, Hawaii Alliance for Progressive Action, HOPA. And we do have another question that came from a caller. 826-7771 is the number. Someone is wondering whether that HOPA would become involved in supporting legislation that would define a citizen as a human being and thereby exclude corporations from being a citizen. Now, this is a national issue, and they're proposing, they're saying we think we should have a 28th Amendment to do that. You know, there is, forget what the name of the Supreme Court ruling was.
Citizens United, I think? Is that what
they're talking about? No, we're talking back. We're talking back
in
the 40s or something. Yeah, when the Supreme Court ruled the corporations were persons, yes,
okay.
And be given that right. And that has affected a lot of the way that the courts can rule with regard to campaigns and whatnot. Is that something you think that HOPA would become involved in?
That's absolutely something that we'd become involved
in. Oh.
Yes, yeah. It is. That and others. There's other, the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Really? Well, now we're talking.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so those are issues, but it begs the question of how do we locally engage that issue? in a meaningful way. How do we engage the population in those issues? So it's easy to sign a petition or hop on and write letters, that type of thing, which we're willing to do. But how do you engage the local population? What does it look like?
Mm-hmm.
But those are definitely issues right up our alley.
And when you say the issues, things that we can do, write the letters. You know, I don't want the callers to get them. Stop me if I'm wrong, Gary, but I don't want the callers to think this is about the board writing the letters. This is, I would think, this would be HAPA calling their members to write letters also.
Well, it's to do that, but it's also for HAPA to educate people about how important this is and encourage people to get involved and write letters, yes.
And you know, well, what I'm pointing to is it's not just about the board. It's like,
right.
the radio station just doesn't run because I sit here in front of a microphone. You know, it takes a whole lot of people to keep this baby going. You know, and the people out there who are listening, they are a part of it. I'm not going to get into a fundraising pitch, but they're part of it, too, because they support us and help pay the electric bill so that we can come in here and volunteer our time, XYZ. You're a volunteer on the board.
Exactly. And back to the T-shirt, catalyzing change, empowering communities.
Nice.
You know, I did a workshop one time years and years ago, and the question that we were all asked, the people in the workshop, what is the single most important thing you can do to affect change in the community? What's the single most important? Mm-hmm. And after a few minutes of thinking, to me, my answer, and this was years ago, I'll never forget it, was to engage and empower other people.
Wow. You know, very good.
There's so much stuff I can do.
Love
you know,
that.
I can do a lot of stuff, you know, but
engage
and empower other people. And that's what HAPA wants to do. At the end of the day, people got to take back their government, and we can. But we have to engage and empower other people.
That's excellent. What other issues have been discussed, that the board, can you give us a little insight into where the board might be putting some of their effort in the coming months?
Well, everything from water. You know, water is a huge issue.
Water rights, fish versus fishermen.
Stream flow, that type of thing.
KIUC taking water to generate power versus the farm getting it.
Yes. Climate change.
Yeah.
And the lack of citizen participation in government.
Yep.
And so what does that mean? Does that mean we need to educate people on how to run for office? Do we need to go out and actually recruit and identify candidates? Do we need to how do we engage people in the process? You know, I think is an emerging topic also. And but there's no shortage of issues, and we're trying to really zone in on that. What is the most important thing we can do? You know, if it may be engage and empower other people.
Right.
And so what's the strategy to do that?
Right.
And so that's we're going to have 2 days of intensive discussion among our board, and then at the end of the day we're going to have an action plan, and we're going to keep moving forward with it. And along the way, you know, what we had on Monday night in Lihue, we're going to do on Monday night in Maui.
Nice.
And we're going to be doing around the state. And ultimately, we want to do it quarterly. You know, the Chamber of Commerce has their quarterly meetings. We want to have regular meetings where people who share common themes and the common worldview and values can come together, break bread, get educated, talk, and be involved in a meaningful way.
Would it be regarded as a grassroots organization where somebody could have a HAPA party in their community and, you know, try to enlist their neighbors to write letters or get involved in some way?
We're moving in that direction. We're still, you know, it's crawl, walk, run.
Understood.
You know,
I understand.
But we're
I noticed the dirt on your knees there. Yes. So we do have a call. And then, Gary, we're going to wrap it up in a few minutes. So we want to, of course, know at the end of the show how we get a hold of HAPA, how individuals who may be interested to join do that, more information, and, of course, your cell phone number, which we're going to put up on all the marquees around the island. Hi, you're on the air. Out of the box. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Thanks, Gary, for all your work. I just have a question about water flow and Mount Waialeale and Makaleha. I spoke to this Hawaiian lady. She's lived here for 50 years. She's never in her life has she ever seen Waialeale and Makaleha dry. So who's diverting the water? Because apparently KIUC isn't. Perhaps it's construction. I mean, if how is home rule going to change anything if the people that are pro-construction, pro-water diversion are also, you know, pro-home rule. Have you noticed that there's no water? I mean,
yeah, let's let Gary feedback to your question.
Okay. You know, I know it's been very dry in general, very, very dry. I mean, I live in White Little Homesteads, and my yard is drier than it's ever been. So,
I love this rain today.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so we definitely need it. You know, whether or to what extent the water is being diverted, I do not know. You raise a very important question on the home rule issue. I believe we need state oversight. The Commission on Water Resource Management is a state agency, and that takes it away from the home rule but gives it greater protection. And so I think we do need that greater protection. Sometimes home rule, I've been, you know, in politics for a long time, and the room is full of developers and workers, and we need jobs, and the pressure is just so great. So we need that greater authority. You know, I tell people we wouldn't have Yellowstone National Park without the federal government making that happen and all these other parks. And so we definitely need that greater level of protection. And there are people, I've worked, we're not talking about the council really, but I've been working on this issue, water, with other members, especially in the Nuhui area. There's some citizens groups. Kapua Sproat from the University of Hawaii is somebody that would highly recommend you reach out to.
It has been dry in the past, but it's never been why Ali has... Oh, it's always been flowing. You've always been able to see it.
No, I agree. I look
out at it. What's up with the water? KIUC said they weren't going to divert it and drill a hole through the mountain, but somebody's diverted something somewhere. It's construction, I can guarantee you.
Well, caller, thank you so much. We have to wrap it up there. I thank you. That's an important topic for many people, and I encourage you to keep your voice coming around to KKCR in a variety of different ways, making your points to better the community as you see it.
And I know Councilmember Mason Chalk is working on this issue. Again, Kapu's Broke from the University of Hawaii is working on that. And so I'll see both of them, or I'll see some of them in the near future, and I'll ask them about this as well.
Great. Again, thank you, caller.
All right, thanks.
I want to thank Tim Kalai, who's been a magician there at the phones tonight. Thank you, Tim. Really appreciate you helping out so much. That's great. All right. What do we got? Oh, we got a couple of minutes. I love that. That's great. Bonus time.
Bonus time. I want to say thanks to Tim and Hope for all the work they do in the community. I've been working with them for many, many years. And you know, a lot of people in the community want to say, do this, do that, do this. But they really do the work. They do the heavy lifting themselves and the research and the background. And just my hats off to both of you.
Well, and I want to say that I see, I've been coming to the Hawaiian Islands, lived here sometimes throughout my life. I've been coming here 50 years, and I sense a spark of change. And when I saw the coming together, as you said, Gary, the HAPA, the blending that the GMO issue did, and it was a tough issue, and I'm sure it was hard for you to go through. And yet, the silver lining, as I saw it, is people were coming together from different walks, different backgrounds, and were speaking to a common cause. And I think that's happened across our state. We know it's happened in Maui, and we know it's happened in the Big Island. And I'm encouraged by that. And I believe that this is an opportunity. And seems to me the reason I showed up Monday night is I want to have a voice for progressive change in our state. And I wish you good luck.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Rick. Thank you very much. And part of the criteria when our board goes to pick whatever issue we're going to start working on will be which issue has opportunity for great impact, but also which one has the opportunity to bring people together, just like you're talking about.
Yes.
You know, the different people. And because at the end of the day, we want to engage and empower other people. We want to help rebuild the grassroots democracy. It's not really the issue as much as it is the process and the people to take ownership of their own future, their own government.
I love that idea, and I think that's important. And I want to hug my Republican brothers and say, let's do this together.
Yes.
And so how do people get a hold of HAPA, get involved, find out more?
The best thing you do is go to the website. You can either go to Hawaii Alliance for Progressive Action .org, or you can go to HAPAHI.org, HAPAHI.org. And just go, it says join HAPA, just go there, put your name, address, and email address. And
I can't afford to join.
Well, that's free.
Okay.
Free.
Okay.
You know, we are fundraising all the time, but membership is free. And so if you want to be involved with HAPA, you have to sign up. And so please do that and share it with your friends. The more people that sign up, the larger our community, stronger the community grows. That's the easiest way to do it. And then we're really careful with the email. We don't flood people's email, and we handle it very respectfully.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
And if people want to reach me directly, they can call me on my cell phone, 652-4279. And, you know, I've been giving that same number out for, I don't know, since they've had cell phones.
Uh-huh.
And people sometimes ask me, so, Gary, give it on the radio. You know, don't crazy people call you? And I say, yes, sometimes they do. but even crazy people need someone to listen to them, you know. And with, I'm just joking, but...
No, that's actually true. I don't think it's a joke at all.
We know plenty about that here at the radio station. Yeah,
but, I just called them yesterday.
Oh, sure.
So it's passionate people. And I'm there to listen. And most people know that, you know, we're all busy people, so they don't call to waste your time. And so if people do want to get a hold of me, that's the best way. Or you can email me, Gary L. Hooser, H-O-O-S-E-R, @gmail.com.
Great.
That's the best way to reach me. And we are, you know, we want to hear your ideas. And what we do on Kauai may be different from what we do on Maui and other places. But we want to hear your ideas, and we want to engage and empower each other.
Well, thank you very much for your service.
Thank you, Rick,
and,
for having me.
So I'd like half of everything you make on HAPA the hour you're here. So if you could just send me a check, that would be great. And I'll send you a check for half of everything I made for KKCR tonight, too. I want to thank Tim Kalai for doing phones, Dub for sitting in on engineering. Thank you very much in challenging moments here. KKCR is a radio station that we are bound and happy to support you as a community member, and we hope that you'll participate with us in whatever ways you can, be it on the air, being as a financial supporter, being as a volunteer. We thank you. We appreciate you so much. I'll be back on the 26th of March with another Out of the Box. Next week, Jonathan will be in. Thank you so much. All right.